Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
News coming up, good sports as well with Geico. Thank you, Geico. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% off and a 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% off the top. And the money, I mean, by the way, they already save you a ton of money. And they're going another 15. They're going deep, man, and they're saving you tons. So let's get down with Geico. Never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% if you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Lawmakers in New York City voted to cut $1 billion from the NYPD's budget and transfer that money to community development programs focusing on police reform, youth services, and support for low-income communities of color. The move has been, oddly enough, criticized by both sides, arguing to defund the police. So on one hand, protesters, including New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, says $1 billion isn't enough. While critics on the other side say the cut will breed a more violent city, which has already seen an uptick in shootings over the past week. And this just made me think of Garagos talking about divorce. Like, does that make it a perfect divorce when neither side is happy?
Yeah. He talks about his boring cop. So I think told me that's Ben. So good cop is Mark and boring cop is Ben. He said the definition, not of divorce, the definition or possibly, but the definition of a good settlement, not a judgment, not what goes on inside a court, but it's like we're arbitration. You know what I mean?
Right.
Both sides are unhappy.
That's how you know you got the sweet spot.
That's right. That's, you got the sweet spot because they both feel like, oh, come on. The one person is like, I don't want to have to pay this much. The other person is like, oh, this is all I'm getting. That's the sweet spot. Yeah. If one of them is elated and the other one is miserable, then you didn't hit it right. You got to both be miserable. But that is also the key to a good marriage. So Gina's right. They could both have to be miserable.
So Alyssa Milano in the news, and rightly so, talking about being intellectually honest and consistent. She's rejecting an accusation that she had a little blackface issue, according to CNN. The actress posted Tuesday in response to an article alleging she was facing backlash over this purported blackface scandal. Milano tweeted a photo of the headline from the conservative site LifeZet. And this is the video, just so you can see what's going on, with her response saying, "Hey, a-holes, the picture below is me parodying Jersey Shore's Snooki's tan. Snooki's tan is worthy of parody, as is Trump's tan." And we're seeing a sort of sped up shot of them getting her ready to be Snooki. Milano is outspoken in her opposition to Trump, which we all know. She tweeted days earlier about what she alleges is a smear campaign against her because of her politics. So once they get done editing this photo, they take a snapshot of her and said that she was doing blackface. But at the end, it's a Funnier Die video, and it's clearly parroting the Jersey Shore.
But if Snooki has done blackface, then this is an issue, right?
Very because meta. That's
she's
very
paying
meta.
Homage to a person who's done blackface, right, which I find problematic.
I did not think of it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good point.
I don't know what year Alyssa Milano got married, but her husband had to be pretty happy about that choice 13 years ago. And now I'd like to recheck his temperature.
2009.
So it's been 11 years. Yeah.
Do you think
I'm marrying the hottie from Who's the Boss? This is awesome.
Do you think his response would simply be, "I wept openly"?
I wept openly. Oh God, I couldn't imagine being married to someone who was that woke and that active and just engaged. You know what I mean? Like, imagine how much engagement. Like, I think we can all kind of realize that Well, we feel sorry for the woman who's marrying the person who's the crazy fill-in-the-blank fan or is obsessed with rotisserie baseball or fantasy football, like every waking hours on the computer doing trades or sending emails to guys in the league or whatever. Like, we all kind of go,
that's
like,
how you win, baby.
You kind of go, oh, I feel bad for that woman. But, well, what if your wife was just in a constant Twitter battle with somebody online? Like, it just... I just feel like she's every waking hour something angry. Like, I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, like, what woke I can do, what active I can do, with engaged, all that stuff. It's how affected she is by everything. Like she gets personally wounded by the most bizarre things.
Yeah, I agree.
But she walks the walk. She was the one sitting in the not the courtroom, but in there every day for the Chief Justice.
Kavanaugh.
My God. Thank you.
Oh, that's right. The hearings.
Yeah. And she sat right there and watched.
But that's what I'm saying. Like the husband's like, hey, you think this Saturday maybe I could get a blowjob? I'm going to be in D.C. for 11 days.
Yeah. No can do.
What? You got a job? No. I got a cardboard sign.
Oh, this is totally out of pocket.
What are you doing in D.C.? I'm just going to be sitting there watching this trial. Okay, but the dog needs water. How are we going to work that out? I don't know. She's getting paid, I guess. It's a business. But either way, it seems like a lot of effort. That's all.
Well, staying on the Twitter tip here, a few weeks ago, Terry Crews drew internet outrage when he tweeted about black supremacy. Now he's facing another little backlash for a tweet about Black Lives Matter. So he tweeted, if you are a child of God, you are my brother and sister. I have family of every race, creed, and ideology. We must ensure Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into Black Lives Better. So earlier this month, he wrote earlier, defeating white supremacy without white people creates black supremacy. Equality is truth. People are not down.
No one's down with anything. I say fuck everyone. Yeah. With their, I'm not
totally
down.
Unreasonable.
I'm not down with, okay, fuck off. Like, that's all we have to do now. There is no satisfying anybody. There's no more statements to be made. That it's the end. It's the end of it. Everyone's pissed. I get it. I found Terry Crews to be a very interesting guy when I interviewed him because and maybe this is part of the problem. He was basically explaining, I think I interviewed him for Take a Knee, but
that's right.
He was sitting, 5 feet from me, and he was going, hey, man, you don't have to keep looking for your sort of piece of the pie, like trying to get other people's piece of the pie away from them. Like, make your own pie. Do your own thing. Everyone says they're trying to get their piece of the pie. They don't realize that the world is a kitchen. You can make your own pie. Okay.
That's not the president Camacho I know.
Yeah. So the movement ain't down with that kind of talk because that's just basically go out and make hay while the sun is shining and take care of yourself. That I can tell he's not down with the movement. But I like his pie talk.
Some hot pie talk. Mm-hmm. So we do have another instance of a TV show confronting an episode with blackface, but they're actually doing it differently. And by the way, the Golden Girls have removed an episode with a blackface joke where they're wearing mud masks. So
is there a context? Like, are they at a spa or are they trying?
No, I think, and this is off memory because I've seen the show a time or two. I think it's the one where somebody either brings home a black family member or marries a black man and they come out in these mud masks and like, oh no, we're not doing blackface. We're doing a mud mask. Big laugh. So that's problematic. But this is being, and maybe Chris can find the scene. I know it's kind of everywhere right now.
I've yelled about this for a long time when people would go, I'd go, well, wait a minute. It's a joke. There's context there. There's no need. And they go, yeah, I know. It drove me nuts. I've been saying this for 20 years where people go like, I know, but you got to take it down anyway. Or I know, but they got to apologize.
Other people don't know.
I know. It's bad. It's not, but we have to. No, my whole thing is if you know, then we don't. Right. You don't have to do this. There's a context. for it.
But, yeah. And talk about giving, I mean, unearthed, my God, who's looking for that old Golden Girls episode? Nobody I know. And we watch the Golden Girls. So all you're doing is highlighting this thing that you're supposed to banish into, you know, the ether.
Yeah. Like, by the way, like black people watch a Golden Girls. I'd love to see what that demo is. I mean, maybe Designing Women, because they had, what's his name?
Oh, yeah. What was his name? He was Hollywood and Mannequin.
Meshach Taylor or something.
Oh, Meshach Taylor.
Meshach Taylor. Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going, Delta Burke.
like a little meat on the bone. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Meshach. Oh, God. I'm getting old. So, Meshach Taylor was the black Jim J. Bullock.
Oh, wow.
I know it's been said many times. I heard Kaylin talking about it in the hall. But if you look at who Jim J. Bullock played, do you guys remember Brian Jim J. Bullock?
Was he the center square always on that?
Yeah, you would remember.
He had the show. He had Jim J. and Tammy Faye.
Yeah, he's very effeminate.
Yeah, he and Meshach, they're both the same. They're a black and white version of each other. They weren't really in the main cast. They'd walk in, make a joke, and walk out again. They're both big and affected, tall and lanky. And what's Meshach Taylor up to?
Was Meshach in Mannequin? Was he?
Yes, he was Hollywood.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yes.
Chris is looking for that. I got a really sophisticated observation you guys are going to love. What happens when Meshach beats Shaquille O'Neal? Meshach.
Who's on first? Yeah.
Fucking stupid.
That's good.
Meshach died in 2014.
Oh. No. He couldn't have been 60.
He was 67.
67?
Yeah.
They have the cocktail now.
They have the what?
The cocktail now. This is an AIDS joke.
Come on.
Get out of here. Back to Balboa.
Meshach's my muse.
So,
and Meshach is also in Kaylin's cocktail party, both born April 11th.
Meshach's in Kaylin's cocktail.
I want to go to Kaylin's party.
It's on his birthday, and I was just making fun of him not knowing who Meshach was.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Ask Kaylin if he knows. Oh, he can't know Meshach.
He has no idea.
You don't know Todd Bridges. You don't know black 80s actors, my friend.
Did your dad party with Meshach, Kaylin? Back in the day.
And then what about Jim J. Bullock? Is he 67 and still alive?
He's 65. He with us? Yes, he's still alive.
All right, good. Get him on. I'd want to live in a world without Meshach and Jim J.
And Gina, we found the Golden Girls clip.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go.
Hello, we're a little early. I'm Greta Wagner, and these are my sisters, Trudy and Libby.
I'm so sorry. The house is such a mess.
Why, it's neater than our maid ever gets ours. I'd hire you anytime.
Mama.
Baby. Oh,
how are you?
I'm fine. How are y'all doing? Hi, baby.
Have you met Dorothy?
No, actually, no, they haven't.
Not there.
You must be Michael's parents. Mom.
All right, it's breaking up. But you get it.
I get the joke. Yeah.
All right. Context.
So anyway, so there is another show that's addressing this in a sort of a Gone with the Wind revamp way. It's an episode of Mad Men. It's the third season called My Old Kentucky Home, in which Roger Sterling, that's John Slattery, he appears in blackface at a party, sings to his wife. And that's talk about context. It's you know, it's about the, you know, 50s and 60s and showing how people acted and what was acceptable in that particular time. They're going to have a title card. They're not taking down the episode. They're going to have a title card and provide a little context. And here's what it's going to say. This episode contains disturbing images related to race in America. One of the characters is shown in blackface as part of an episode that shows how commonplace racism was in 1963. In its reliance on historical authenticity, the series producers are committed to exposing the injustices and inequities with our society that continue to do this to this day, so we can examine even the most painful parts of our history. and goes on from there. So they're going to leave it up and put up a title card. And as we know with Gone with the Wind, that is now back on HBO, and there's going to be an introduction sort of explaining that time period.
Super important. Thank God. We burn all the calories doing everything. I don't know. How about we start exploring funner parts of our history, like world's fairs and shit? You know what I mean? Like, can we have a nice, happy balance? Does it all have to go back and go through painful history? I don't know. Like, how about one of those Elvis movies where he goes to the Space Needle? You know what I mean? Like the World's Fair. It's like, hey, it's 1921 and this guy invented an elevator. Woo! Or a light bulb. Yeah.
Since yesterday, you got me very worried about Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
I'm very worried about that now. I don't want Uncle Ben's legacy to be taken away.
Yeah, I don't feel like we need to, you know, get a super soaker and spray everyone with it. Let's be marksmen about what part of our history we're going to erase or remove. I don't think we need to do it with a shotgun. Do it with a sniper's rifle and get the right people out of there. But Jesus Christ. Travis Pastrana is going to be on the show tomorrow. That's a guy who's not fear-based. Oh, my God, is that guy not fear-based? That guy, you got to get it for tomorrow, Max Pata. But that guy, when that guy did a backflip from 10-story building to 10-story building, that was one of the hairier things I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's one thing to do a backflip on a motorcycle in the desert, because, like, you crash, you break your collarbone and some other shit. You do a backflip rooftop to rooftop. Ooh. In a 10-story building, and you miss it. And by the way, if you miss it, first off, there is such a thing as mechanical error. Like, you could be going up the takeoff ramp and just have the chain bust on the motorcycle or the throttle stick or some linkage happen or something like that. It then lands on the other building.
Jesus.
Damn.
How
that's crazy.
Fucking intense is that? How pissed would you be if you were his mom? Brian, how is your mom there? How pissed would she be?
Yeah,
he does
fast.
A fucking knack-knack upside down.
It's a double backflip.
Was it? No. It was
oh,
not.
Never mind.
Yeah, I never minded you before.
I know. I thought I preemptively never.
I had a never mind chambered for you in case you spoke again. Double back. That's insane what he just did, right? Absolutely insane. All right, we'll talk to him. Let me hit Meguiar's here. Car waxes have come a long way. Last year, Meguiar's introduced hybrid ceramic spray wax. It's advanced SiO2 hybrid technology, delivers ceramic wax protection and durability. No rubbing, no curing, no buffing. You know, it's not like the old days. We had to wait for the haze to build up and then buff it off. Provides extreme water beating action. This year, Meguiar's has launched their own liquid version. Seals the paint for long-lasting protection against the elements. Easy to use. Apply it like traditional liquid wax. Get some of this stuff. I'll tell you what you should get. Also get the ceramic spray detailer. Spray detailer is so good, especially the Meguiar's. And you don't have to waste a bunch of water and, like, wash your car. You can just, if it's not too bad, just hit it with the spray detailer and a microfiber rag and wipe the thing down, man. Removes contaminants like dust, fingerprints, bird droppings, boosts gloss, enhances protection. Ceramic. Made easy. Meguiar's, man. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
You got it. Well, we talked about brawling. We talked about COVID. Let's combine the two, shall we? There's a video that surfaced online showing a fight at a Little Rock restaurant Saturday night. Witnesses at Saltgrass Steakhouse say it all stemmed from an argument over social distancing. A police report, and I'll show it to you in a second. A police report obtained from the Little Rock Police Department says an employee with Saltgrass Steakhouse saw the woman wearing the mask in the video tell two others that they were sitting too close to them. The employee also said the same woman was purposely coughing on other customers, the one that was sitting too close. Both the report and the witnesses.
Brian, if you'd bother to watch TMZ, like the intellect you claim to be, You would have seen this already, but go ahead.
No. The man wearing the USA shirt got even closer, further escalating, kind of bumping up on everybody. That's when the boyfriend of the woman wearing the mask is seen hitting the dude with a bottle. Apparently, no charges have been filed yet, but here's a clip for your viewing pleasure.
The guy's just trying to run interference for his crazy wife. Girlfriend.
I think that's innocent bystander. Because the guy in the USA shirt.
Oh, okay.
This is a hero.
Oh, that's what happened, yeah.
He's just trying to de-escalate. And bottle over the head.
I like the guy who's like... All right. I like the guy's like, you always wear a mask indoors, but if things get hairy, you do bust a bottle over a dude's head. Like, I like the guy's got some range.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. People
are getting crazy, man.
People are getting crazy out there. And I don't know where you guys are at, but I'm always like, oh, let's just have our meal and relax. Like, what do you want? What are we going to? Yes.
Not so fast. You saw the decree from today as we record this. Restaurants, bars, wineries, all shut down again.
Wineries.
Yeah.
And I was just in Temecula. We got there just in time.
You think Orange County is getting down with this?
Orange County did some stuff preemptively. So it was like, if they make their own rules, they won't have to abide by the Newsom stuff. And they're kind of like, that's their way of sort of preemptively protecting themselves. I think they're shutting down beaches for 4th of July and canceling fireworks. So it doesn't, because whatever they do to themselves won't be as broad and giant as what Newsom will do. I think that's where we're at with that.
Gary, who's ambassador, unofficial ambassador to Orange County,
right.
OC is closed down.
Go ahead.
No, Gina, you can go ahead if you like. But yeah,
go ahead.
Fell under all of Newsom's stuff from today. Orange County was one of them. All bars have to close. Inside of all restaurants are closed. Movie theaters, everything's closed for 3 weeks.
At least.
3 weeks. I think the beaches were what they did preemptively, if I'm
not
mistaken.
I'll take a picture from the beach here in Balboa tomorrow. I will guarantee fucking you. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned, Adam, the white ends of the sandwich. Mm-hmm. We left West LA yesterday or last night, which, you know, kind of progressive. It's not Santa Monica, but, you know, a lot of people wearing masks in the neighborhood while walking, whatever. Got to Orange County here at Balboa Island an hour later. Lots of people downtown. I observed one person with a mask. One person. And Balboa's pretty cramped. Like, these aren't sprawling, you know, neighborhoods. This is people on top of each other. I did see one group of three teenagers who had masks around their neck. They were walking two towns. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but that's where
So this is turned into a club sandwich now. And the reason I'm saying our white bread club sandwich is the Balboa bread in the middle. That's the Republican Orange County no masker, who's also affluent. Then there's sort of the affluent masker, who's the West Side. And then there's the sort of Kid Rock white trash no masker. But there's two no maskers. It's the affluent Orange County Republican, and it's also the white trash. So Balboa's in Orange County?
Yeah, it's in Newport Beach.
Newport Beach,
but it's an island right off
the... Right. All right. So maybe Balboa Island should declare that it's going to secede from California and have its own government. Yeah, have its own governing body like they did in Seattle with CHOP, you know, and just start making its own rules. I'm telling you, real estate would go up. All right. I'm going to be, you can go to adamcarolla.com if you want to find out about any live shows with me. I'm your emotional support animal. It's up and running on Amazon. Books are going to be shipped in a few weeks, but you can get the audiobook if you would. Matthew B. Crawford, his book, Why We Drive, that's available now on Amazon as we speak. And San Antonio, let's see, Tempe's been rescheduled September 18th and 19th. So if you have tickets, just hang on to those. We got San Antonio. We got Dallas coming up. And just go to adamcarolla.com. Check out the YouTube page for the free stand-up. Good sports coming up next. Till next time, it's Adam for Gina and Bald and Matthew saying mahalo.
Stick around. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla return with good sports next.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. You ready for some hot sports talk? I hope so, because we're about to get into it. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, I finally heard your remarks about our mutual pal, Jimmy Kimmel. Well done. I have nothing to add to it. They were so good. And let's press forward with some hot sports talk, shall we?
We shall.
All right, let's get into it here. And I have a number of things to talk about. Actually, sports adjacent amidst the 2020 sort of social revolution underway and everything. And, you know, I don't know how your yardstick looks versus versus my own or what I think of these things. But specific to some of these sports changes, did you hear last week that one of the best college football rivalries, Oregon-Oregon State, has decided it was always called the Civil War up there? They now are changing that. You're no longer it's weird because formally, I don't even know what it means. Aren't the fans still going to call it that? But either way, they've dropped the name Civil War as a nickname for that rivalry. How say you?
Well, it just matters that as long as you just declare the North won every year, you'd have to keep flip-flopping which team was the North. Like, you can't call it a Civil War without a declaration of who's the South and who's the North before the game. You know what I mean?
That's kind of true. Like, wait, why do we have to be the South? We don't want to be the South.
Because last year you were the North.
Maybe a generation or five from now will be far enough removed from the Confederate flag that it'll be like a punishment to put on. Well, you lost last year. That's the rule. You have to wear.
You got to put the General Lee's roof on the back of your helmet. Like, yeah. So because you think about it, like you go, well, you don't want to talk about the Civil War. It's like, well. In the Civil War was a good thing because we fought a war to end slavery. So that's a good thing. I mean, you could go, well, why did you ever have to fight the war in the first place? For sure. But the war was fought to end slavery. So that's why the Civil War isn't a negative. Although you wish you didn't have slavery. So then you wouldn't have to fought the war, but we did fight a war to end it. So I don't know that the title Civil War, how about we call it domestic abuse? I don't know. Can we get another title? I want combat.
See, that doesn't help at all, though. But
no?
That doesn't fix. No, it doesn't really fix.
I don't know what to do.
That's really just, I don't know, 601. I really am legitimately conflicted on these things. Like, I believe that if I were a big sports fan and whatever in 1968, 1970 or whatever, I would have been like, I wouldn't have been on the side. Like, I refuse to call him Muhammad Ali. Mama named him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay. I can't imagine I would have been the latter of that. I would have been like, it's this man's right to do this. If this is what he wants to do. On the other hand, I also think I think it's very strange when, like, I think it can go too far and really be ineffectual, kind of an ineffectual gesture. Like, remember when you were growing up in the NBA, there were the Washington Bullets.
Right.
But then they said, like, well, that, you know, that does that support gun violence? We should not have that name anymore. And it's like, I just always feel the leap from, I wasn't interested in gunplay, but then I realized my favorite basketball team's name was Bullets. So then I went out and got myself a handgun. Like, what? What was that? That's a major leap in logic, isn't it?
Well, you know, there was Bullet Bob Hayes.
Bullet Bob Hayes, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think even when I was 10, I got the context of Bullet Bob Hayes. Bullet Bob Hayes was called Bullet Bob Hayes because he was fast, not because he shot people. You know what I mean? And the bullets, to me, just sounded fast. It's like faster than a speeding bullet. It was the beginning of Superman. You know what I mean? So the problem, I think, sort of more globally, is when you really just get into the weeds with everything that sounds like something or could be construed as something, then your eye is off the prize. You know what I mean? Like, imagine if we just went micro on this subject, where I went like, look, my son is not a good student, and I'd like to make him a better student. I'd like to remedy this problem. And then I started focusing on everything. You know what I mean? Just like, I'm going to find examples of him being a bad student everywhere, you know? And then it's like, oh, your backpack, you left it down in the mudrooms because you're a bad student. But it wouldn't make him a better student. It would make him a better student if we focused on the big things that would really move the needle. And we don't have an unlimited amount of time and resources. So my feeling is, you know, mayor of Oakland, if some black fella puts up some hoops with some PVC pipe to get some exercise in the park, we don't have to get the FBI involved. We don't have to. It's a waste of resources. But then there are other things we could be looking into. Let's do that. Again, you would never run your family this way. You know what I mean? It'd be the biggest waste. You'd be the worst run family in the world.
And I get it because it's well-intentioned. And like I say, philosophically in broad strokes, if I blur my eyes, I, for what it's worth, I appreciate the effort, but it leads to larger inaction when you focus on these things that are kind of related, in specific to sports, the Houston Astros. It's now universally accepted that they were, tipping pitches, or they were catching pitches and banging garbage cans and whatever. And now the debate is for real. It's like, shouldn't the baseball record book reflect that with an asterisk? And it's like, what are you even talking? There's not some grand book laying around somewhere that like gets pried open and dust flies up and some old man takes out a feather and dips it into ink and places an asterisk over it. Like, what is even this conversation about like an asterisk? It already has it. We all understand that it's cheating. Like, shouldn't we acknowledge that Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa cheated? Like, well, we already know it. What are we talking about then? Move on. We have that one solved already. You can put them in the Hall of Fame. No one will ever go there and think like, everybody will always go like, yeah, but you know, they did take steroids. That will always be part of it, whether or not this non-existent great book has an asterisk in it or not.
I think you were looking for the word quill, by the
quill.
Way. Yes. And if there is such a book, Bob Costas should be in charge of that book. Number one. Number two, Gary, didn't Old Miss have like a rebel colonel or something from the Civil War or something as a mascot? There is some rebels out there, right?
Oh, I it's funny you say that, because that is in this vast, and I'm kind of conflicted about it, and we'll go, you know, I certainly get some of those statues. I surmise, I don't know this for a fact, but I would be willing to guess that I'm better with like, yeah, tear down the Robert E. Lee and all that kind of stuff. I don't think we need those statues, but I don't know what you think about that. But I'm just curious about that you could go through this and really get so consumed with the minutiae of it that you end up failing to affect the larger change. Yes. Are you going to, is Ole Miss going to change its name from the Rebels now? You know, people did that a generation ago. And in fact, a lot of people are pushing now for the Redskins to change their name.
Which they haven't switched from the Rebels, but the old the Colonel Reb mascot has been replaced with the Black Bear.
Oh, it has?
2010,
I had no idea about
here.
That.
It got replaced with a black bear?
I had no idea
here.
About
it's
that.
It's questionable to me, but...
Because why does a bear need to be black? Couldn't they go the Kodiak bear that doesn't come with the same social baggage as the black bear? I found the black bear to be problematic, Gary. Oh, God. I hear someone.
Oh, it's still the rebel black bear.
It's the rebel black bear. God.
It is funny that they changed it.
Oh, wait.
For the reason they changed it to. And that's what they came up with.
I'm now reading that in 2017, they announced that the new mascot would be the land shark beginning in 2018 and 2019.
Yeah.
It's been a lot this decade.
Because when you think Ole Miss, you think land shark.
That's right. Are you really helping when you change it? That land shark. That every time you hear that, like people are gonna, cold chill's gonna go up their spine. As a
shark,
reminder.
Land shark's an old SNL sketch,
like
from the 70s. All right, let me hit Bet Online. No shortage of action at BetOnline.ag. Sports are coming back, thank God. UFC. They're back. They never really left UFC. They just sort of changed their model. NASCAR, boxing, soccer. BetOnline has the best odds and lines. I don't know if we call it odds or lines or lines or odds. But anyway, they got the best ones for the upcoming games. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC daily. Also, live casino games, poker tournaments, best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag. Use your mobile device with the promo code PODCAST1 and you get a sign-up bonus. So you get a bonus to get started. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at PODCAST1. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Oh, and listen, we are getting real close. NBA basketball is going to be going off soon. MLB, the puck, and soon after, I am sure. I don't know about the back end and how football season's going to make it for 4 months. We'll see with that. I am quite certain that college and pro football will kick off in time based on everything that I'm hearing. All right, Friday edition of Good Sports coming at you tomorrow. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports Time.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's awesome. Available across all formats. And get the link at adamcarolla.com.